Thank you, Father God, for the privilege, and thank you for the opportunity to receive from your word today. We thank you. Our hearts are open, our ears are open and receptive, and our minds are alert and attentive to your word, Lord. And we thank you that you will be faithful to reveal your word to our hearts on new levels and new dimensions and new degrees than what we've seen and heard and comprehended up to this time. We thank you for revelation knowledge and divine illumination of our spirits. We thank you, Father God, for being faithful to confirm your word with signs and wonders following your word. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit and his anointing that shall destroy and break every yoke of bondage. And we give you all of the credit, honor, praise, glory, adoration. It belongs to you, Lord. And we thank you for this privilege, and we thank you for this opportunity to receive your word. And in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. You may be seated. We're going to be talking about faith and faithfulness. Faith and faithfulness. So I'm beginning with a prophecy from Dr. Jerry Savelle. He had it on the first day of January 2021. He's a prophet of God, prophet and teacher. And he says this by the Spirit of God. He said, the year 2020 is now over, and the new year has finally come. So get ready for more and more rejoicing in 2021. The things I plan will surely bring you great joy, blessing after blessings. That's what I will deploy. Never you have witnessed such goodness, you shall soon see. I'm pouring out in abundance so that you will have greater victories. Things you stood in faith for, which seem would never come, they'll manifest shortly, and every battle will be won. Keep your eyes on me and your trust in my word. Regardless of whether others say, you'll not be disturbed. A year of great favor, that's what you'll testify to. For abundant overflow is surely coming to you. Praise God. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, we always say this in the context, prophecies or promises do not self-fulfill. We have to do work with them. Faith work with them. We have to work faithfully with the prophecies and the promises that are given to us. So it requires faith, but it also requires the stick-to-itiveness of faithfulness. Because God has given us exceeding great and precious promises, and he's given us powerful, right-on-time, pertinent prophecies, but they do not self-fulfill. They're not automatic, and we've said it before, the will of God does not fall on us like ripe cherries off of a tree. It's not automatic. You have to add things to that. You have to add your faith, and more importantly, you have to be faithful in doing it. Amen. So you may be thinking, well, Pastor Ed, wait a minute now, but things are bad everywhere. You talk about people getting shot in school still. You got things going on where people shooting people in FedEx Place. Come on now. We see the Twin Cities in Minnesota going through all kinds of chaos and crisis because an African-American man was shot. And so we see crisis all around us. And you say, wait a minute, how could you bring this out? Haven't you been watching the news? Yes, I have. See, regardless of what's going on around us, we have a right, the opportunity. We have the privilege to believe, to see the goodness of God. God has not ran out of goodness since 2000. He's still good all the time, and all the time God is what? Good. And I will venture to say and stretch out there and challenge you to see God not only as good all the time, but absolutely good. He said, what about all the bad news, Pastor? What about all the bad stuff that's going on? God is absolutely good. But you have the right, you have the opportunity, and you have the privilege to believe, to see the goodness of God. See, you got to believe it before you see it. That's why we're talking about faith. Amen. And we're talking about faithfulness. See, in a bold declaration of faith, the psalmist David said in Psalms 27, 13 through 14, look at what he says. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. That doesn't mean drumming your fingers and going, God, when are you going to show up? When are you going to do something? No, wait is an idea of expectancy. It's a posture of looking to the Lord and not looking at all the news, the noise, or the narratives that are out there. Come on, you're looking to the Savior. You're looking to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You're looking to Jesus, the author and developer of your faith. Come on now. You're keeping your eyes fixed on God and not focused on your problems. He said, I have fainted unless I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, if he tells us twice, that needs to get doubly our attention. Who are you expecting goodness to come from? Some people have gotten addicted to the government. But goodness comes from God. Absolute goodness is who God is. Absolute good is who he is. Hallelujah. See, the word faint here is used in this Psalms, means to sink into rejection. And to lose courage or to become depressed. Countless spike since March 15th last year has occurred in mental illnesses and mental disorders. Cases of depression, cases of mental illnesses have spiked up in America. They have spiked up even in San Antonio and Greater Bear County. It has spiked up. People are having trouble with their minds and their emotions. Why? Because they've sunk into rejection. They've lost courage and they've become depressed. Bible word, they fainted. And it also means this, to yield to fear and worry. See, as long as we're in this world, we'll face tribulation, tests, troubles, and trials. But Jesus, our Lord, said this in John 16:23. Everybody turn to John 16:33. It says, these things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have. Now, that is pretty definite. So don't go around thinking everything's going to be easy and comfortable and convenient for you. He says, you shall have tribulation. And he says, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now listen to what the Amplified Classic says. I have told you these things so that in me you might have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. How many of you have experienced that? Tribulation, trials, distress, and frustration. But be of good cheer. Take courage, be confident, certain, and undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I, Jesus is talking about himself, I have deprived it of its power to harm you. And you and have conquered it for you. In other words, he's telling you and me, I overcame the world, everything the devil threw at me and the kitchen sink. Included, he said, I've overcome the world so you can overcome it. Amen. Because in me, you will have peace. In me, you will experience triumph and blessings and victory. But you have to have your faith in him. You got to stay faithful to him. So how do we overcome the problems we face in the world, this world today? According to the Lord, it's through our faith. Everybody say our faith. Mark 11, 22. He says it this way. Many of us remember. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in who? Now, some people start at 23, but really you need to start at 22. Because if you don't have faith in God, the rest of it gets all messed up. Because some people say, well, I got faith. I got faith I'm gonna never get the COVID-19. I got faith I'm gonna never get sick. But where's your faith foundation in? Who is your faith's foundation in? You got to have faith in God. Everybody say, have faith in God. Turn around to someone next to you, smiling real good. Show them your pearly whites, praise God, or your pearly fews. Come on now. And tell them, have faith. You got to have faith in God. He said, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So God has issued his word of promise, his powerful words of prophecy, and as we said, they don't automatically happen. You know, we can believe to see the goodness of the Lord. How am I going to see the goodness of the Lord? I got to believe it in order to receive it. I got to believe it in order to see it. Amen. We lay hold of these things by faith. We see the goodness of God and the glory of God in our lives, in our church. It's going to take faith. It's going to require faithfulness. Now let's examine some principles of the law of faith here in Mark 11, 20. First, our faith is to be in anything but God. Or anyone but God. Our faith is to be in anything, nothing else but God. Secondly, well, let me go back. Our faith is to be in God and to be like God. One of the dictionary definitions of faith, in accordance to Webster's dictionary, is unquestioning belief. Now, you think about that definition for just a moment. Faith is unquestioning belief. So if I talk to this brother and I tell him, I say, when's it going to happen? I just had a question. That's my vocalizing my doubts and my unbelief. When am I going to get my breakthrough, sister? That's not unquestioning belief. See, belief in God and faith in God is not questioning how you're going to do it, God, when you're going to do it, God, how's it going to happen, Lord? Come on, you got doubt there. There's doubt latent. There's fabrics of fear inside those questions. Faith doesn't talk like that. You got to have unquestioning belief that God said it, he'll do it. That settles it. If God said it, come on now. If he spoke it, he'll make it good. Come on now. The Bible says in Nehemiah that God's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he has to repent and change. If he said it, he'll do it. If he'll spoke it, he'll make it good. And you got to believe it to receive it. Look at what he said in verse 23. Look at it. Put your eyes on it. Faith will work for anybody. He said whosoever. He didn't say whosoever had $1 million in the bank. That would disqualify some of us in this room and some of us online. He didn't say whosoever had $1 million. He didn't even say whosoever has a certain pigmentation and color tone to their skin. He didn't say whosoever has a certain degree in their education. He said whosoever, that means anybody. Faith will work for anybody. And look at the last phrase, whatsoever, he said. He said whosoever shall have whatsoever. So faith will work for anybody or work on anything. Some of us think, well, what do I need to get my family messed back on course? Faith and faithfulness. What do I need to get my finances back on track? Faith. Are you listening to me? Faith works by saying it. Verse 23, whosoever shall say. So what does that tell you and me, friends? He tells us, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, he said, you got to talk to the mountain. Now, most people talk about the mountain. Or they want to tell the pastor about the mountain. Come on now. But it says, you got to talk to your mountain. That means the mountain needs to hear whose voice? Some people get it confused. They think, I got to hear my mama's voice. I got to hear my daddy's voice. I got to hear the pastor's voice. No, mountain's got to hear your voice. You got to talk to your mountain. It works by saying it. So you got to dial the mountain up. For most of us, it's a local call. 210. If we're in a 210 area code, you might be in another area code, but 210. It's right in your backyard. You got to talk to it. And so when Jesus mentions the speaking part or the talking part, the saying part of faith, then first, that means it takes priority and precedence over the praying part of faith. Because see, some people pray it, verse 24, but you got to realize you still have to say it. So faith works by saying it and praying it, but if you pray it, you still have to say it. Because many people say, well, thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. They get up from the prayer and they talk contradictory to the prayer. They begin to not have unquestioning belief. They begin to question. I wonder if it's working. I wonder when it's going to come through. God, how are you going to do this again? You're not in charge of the how department. You're in charge of the believe department. How are you going to heal me of this incurable disease? How are you going to deliver me from this sickness and illness? Come on now. We get in the how department, and you're in the wrong department. You need to be in the faith department, the believing department, to stay faithful, to believe God every day and in every way, 24/7, 365. Keep your faith on. Number four, we are only to be moved by God's word. Jesus said 9 words here to the fig tree in this chapter. That means he said in his about himself, I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do. So he acted in complete faith and faithfulness to God. So that means faith says the same thing God says. Nothing more, nothing less. I remember a lady who had her house burned down, completely burned down, forest fire. She's in California, Southern California. And she had testified. She's a woman of God, and she testified. She said they had come in and evacuate them from the neighborhood and tell them all these things happened. The fire was blazing, and so they got out just a nick of time. And this was a home that they really liked. It wasn't their dream home, but it was a really nice home. I mean, you like nice homes. Praise God. It's a nice home. So a nice home, fire burned it down. Now remember the context. Faith will work for anybody, will work on anything. And faith begins by talking. What you say will set in motion how it will be. And what you will see. You need to get that. You need to write that down. What you say is what you set in motion on what you will see and how it will be. So anyway, she's standing in front of the house at the day after, ash heaps. She said nothing, everything was burned to the ground except a Bible and a ceramic cross. And she's looking at her neighbors who are crying and belly aching and screaming. They're already on the phone with the insurance company demanding that they get this claim processed fast. And she steps up to the ash heap. Her husband's got an arm around her. They're looking at everything except this Bible and a cross. And the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, came upon her and said, "What? Watch what you say right now. Because what you say is what you'll get. And what you got is what you said." And she didn't say anything negative. Like, all she heard all her neighbors saying negative things about what had happened, how the catastrophe had come through and destroyed their neighborhood. And she said, it will be well with us. Thank you, Lord. And that's all she said. And she turned around and walked away and began to thank and praise God. We'll build again. They were the first house to rebuild. They were the first persons in a year apart from the other neighbors to settle their claim. The other ones took over a year to settle their insurance claim. She said, "We settled our claim in 6 weeks. We had the money to build a dream house from the claim in less than 8 weeks." She built a dream house that they wanted and really desired in less than the time that it took for the other ones to get their insurance claim settled. So they were already moved into a new house, a new neighborhood, a dream house, come on now, because they said it, they used their faith, and they stayed faithful to their faith in God. Everybody say it with me. Faith works by saying it and praying it. And we're only to be moved by God's word. We don't be moved by appearances. I just gave you that story. Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by what? That means this. You know, one of my mentors likes white-tailed buck hunting. And so he said a white-tailed buck may see you three times before he reacts, because he's trying to figure out what's moving in the bush. He said he might smell you twice. He might hear you twice. He will see you three times. He's trying to figure out what's going on. He hears you two times. But if he just gets a whiff of you, one sin, white tail comes up, whoop, and he's gone. See, with faith, how we live, our lifestyle, should be our first response to any problem, any pressure, any pain, any predicament we find ourselves in. In other words, we're not moved by what we feel, what we hear, what we see, what we taste, what we touch, what's in the bank account, we should be moved by what we believe. We walk by faith and not by appearances. Too many people are walking by appearances, and so because the news is bad, because the noise is bothering, and because the narrative is negative, guess what? They walk around looking sad and bad and look like they're bothered by all the pain and pressure and problems that they're facing. So they're not walking by faith. They're walking by their feelings. They're walking by their sight. Sixth thing, we get natural things are subject to change. Jesus said, you'll have whatsoever you sayeth. Now notice in verse 23 again, he says saith three times. And so we kind of adopted the Brother Hagin's gang symbol. If you're in a faith gang, you're a man of faith, you know, you're in a gang symbol. So Dad Hagin, before he went to heaven, he used to put up the sign. He said, notice in verse 23, Jesus said three times, say, one time believe. Look at it. For whosoever shall say once, believe those things which he saith. Two, shall have whatsoever he saith. Three. So everybody make the gang sign. Come on now. Let's make the faith gang. Now, come on. These folks can have gangs and clubs and all these things. We got to have a faith sign. It means once believe, shall not doubt, but to believe in the heart, but those things which he saith. Now, look at say is the first word, command. Saith is the word say out loud. Laleo. And the third word is lego, saith. That means continually say it. That's where faithfulness comes in. You got to be faithful to maintain your confession of faith. You say it, and you got to keep on saying it. You say, well, you don't see it. It don't look like it's happening. I'm saying it. Because God said it, and God told me to say it, I'm saying it. I'm saying the same thing God says. I'm not changing it. I'm not canceling it. I am saying it. I'm consistent with it. Are you consistent with saying, my God, Father God takes care of me in grand style? Are you consistent, come on now, in saying the blessing of the Lord makes me rich and adds no painful sorrow, toil, or sweat with it? Are you consistent and faithful in saying, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus? In the midst of sensory contradiction, where you got lack and want and poverty, four walls naked around you, you got to say it. You got to keep on saying it. I was saying this over my health situation because there's no such thing as unchallenged faith. Some people think faith is a flowery bread of ease. So I was getting my numbers done and last year during the pandemic. They're a little high. You know, you got all kind of numbers, you know, blood sugar, potassium, and all this other stuff. I mean, I'm talking about the full banana. I mean, they took like a quarter blood out of me. You know, you got like four or five vials. Then you got to go urinate in the cup. You know what I'm talking about. They got everything, lipid panel, everything. So the Lord said, don't leave your health in the doctor's hands. Are you listening to me? Put your health in my hands. And keep your faith in me. So you take faith like a medicine. Now, of course, we recommend it as a church that people feed their faith every day and feed their faith for healing every day. Because faith works the same in any arena, any spirit, any realm. And so over a year, I've been working in faith, speaking to it, speaking to my liver. How many? When's the last time you talked to your liver? You know, you need your liver. When's the last time you talked to your kidneys? Come on, if your kidneys don't filter the blood, see, my creatinine and my filtration and all that has to be right. Come on now. My lungs have to breathe. My immune system, particularly during COVID and the pandemic, your immune system needs to be talked to. Are you talking to your immune system? I do. Some of you might have to introduce yourself to your immune system. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. And so you talk to your immune system, talk to your vitamin D levels, talk to your potassium level, all those things. So I had two reports. I had one for insurance and one for doctor, the VA. They did full blood work on me. The numbers, it was about a month apart. They went from good to great. Almost perfect health. Just one minor, few little tweaks. But man, the doctor was like, man, he was giving me a fist bump over virtual. We did Zoom in, you know, meetings. You know how they got still got the Zoom meeting. But anyway, so the virtual, he said, give me a fist bump. He said, man, you are cooking. I said, look, praise God, God is cooking. He cooking up some healing. Praise God. Somebody say glory to God. So you keep on saying it. But most people keep on saying what's wrong with them. They want to tell everybody, my back's hurting. I can't hardly stand up. I'm dizzy. I'm faint. I've got allergies. Come on, they keep saying, my diabetes is acting up. Ooh, glory to God. My blood pressure's high. But you refuse to say anything else but what God says. Come on, you got to say it. Everybody say you got to say it. Because natural things can change. He said, speak to the mountain and tell it to be removed. That means speaking to your liver or your kidneys or your lungs or your heart. You say, my heart beats with the rhythm of life. My body functions in the perfection to which God created it to function. And I forbid any malfunction in Jesus' name. I take 1 Peter 2:24 and I say, 1 Peter 2:24 pulsates through every fiber of my being and brings healing and health and wholeness and soundness of body in Jesus' name. And so verse number seven, you call things into existence. Now let me tell you something about this. If you don't call it, it will never come. Have you called your money? No, some people say, well, I expect the money to come every 1st and the 15th or the 30th or whenever you get paid. And see, some people get so natural, they're no heavenly good. Amen. You need to have a balance of both. You need to be working on your finances with your faith and not just with your flesh. Hallelujah. Man, this is good stuff. Amen. Praise God. Look at this. Romans chapter 4, verse 16. I'm hearing because there. I'm going to read it here. It said, therefore, it is of faith. Everybody say, it is of faith. That it might be by grace. Now, let me read out Amplified to make it clear. Therefore, inheriting the promises is an outcome of faith. Inheriting the promises. Now, some people say, well, when I get to heaven, I'll get it. No. The promises are to be inherited right now. The prophecies are to be received right now. Come on now. The promises of God to be received right now. But how are you going to inherit that promise? It is an outcome of faith. And it depends entirely on faith in order that it may be given as an act of grace. Everybody say it with me. Everybody say, grace makes, faith takes. See, grace has made salvation available. Grace has made healing available. Grace has made prosperity available. Grace has made, I mean, we couldn't earn it. We can't buy it. We can't borrow for it. We can't beg God for it. He's already done it. Grace has made family peace available. Grace has made household salvation available. Grace has made divine protection available. That means your whole house is covered up and God got his head of protection around you and yours. Come on now. Grace has made it available. But faith takes what grace has made available. If you never use no faith, you never access and appropriate what's been given by grace. Oh, my goodness. You got to see this. And if you never get by no grace, no faith, then you'll be sitting here struggling. You got to call those things to be not. He said, therefore, it is by faith that it might be by grace that the end, the promises might be sure to all the seed, and not only those of the law, but of those also which is of the faith of Abraham. The faith of Abraham, who's the father of us. And as is written, I've made thee a father of many nations before whom he believed. There it is. Principles of the law of faith start with believing. And even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now, if we took a sample survey of everybody's be not list. Now, some people can articulate to the nth degree. They take an hour telling you how many things are not right in my heart, in my life, in my mind, in my body, in my marriage, in my family, in my finances. And they will have a whole laundry list of what be not right, what be not good. But he said, call those things that be not as though they were. And I said to you in the beginning, if you don't call it, it will never come. Or it will never become good. He said, call it those things which be not. So faith saying it also calls those things. So you might not be not. So we got to start. Some of you got to start. I be not have a month's savings in my savings account. So what do you call that savings account? You call it those things to be not as though they were. So your faith works on it. And you call the money in. You call the extra in. I believe to receive extra coming in so I can build up my emergency savings account. And I can go from 1 month to 3 months to 6 months to a year. Come on now. And then go to my investments. What I'll make returns on my investments. Come on. You got to put your faith to work even before you go to work. Praise God. And call that bank account full. The bank has to call you and say, well, you got too much money in this account. We can only FDI insure $250,000. So you got to open up a new account, and we'll give it to you for free, and they'll be real nice to you because you got money in there. Praise God. So I say glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. But if you don't call it, it will never come or become. Number eight, faith won't work if we don't forgive. This is the number one thing that stops your faith from working. Our faith will never outgrow our forgiveness. Why? Because faith works by love. Amplified Bible, Galatians 5:6 says, for if we are in Christ, neither circumcision or uncircumcision counts for anything. So it doesn't matter what your pedigree is, who your people are, what gender you are. Come on now. Come on now. Counts for anything, but faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. So that means your motivation of your faith is not just for your stuff. See, some of us need to learn to be in to stay in faith and to be faithful with God taking care of you so you can help take care of the church and people in the church. See, religious thinking thinks, well, I got to be the one with my hand out and my hand up all the time. But you're not called just to be blessed. You're called to be a blessing. You are blessed to be a blessing. Amen. Everybody say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. So why does God want to increase you? He increases you so you can give more, so you can do more, so you can be a bigger blessing, be a bigger benefit. You can impact the community. You can go up to your neighbor and say, well, can I pay your mortgage payments this month? They might blink at you and may even pass out in the driveway. But you say, well, praise God. God has blessed me so much. I just want to share the blessing. God is good all the time. Jesus loves you. Jesus is Lord. And then they go back and say, well, let me learn about this Jesus. Let me know about this Jesus. Come on now. You walk up to somebody that's struggling on their car payment. They behind 2 months. Oh, Kokomo, let me take care of it. I'll just write 2 months car payments off. And I'll pay the one before that. I'll pay you 3 months and give you a little bit of room to breathe. And you say, Jesus is Lord. Glory to God. Somebody say hallelujah. We've stopped doing that. Because if we're not in faith or in faithful with the small things, If God can't trust you with $10, $20, $100, you think he's going to give you thousands of dollars to pay somebody's car off? Or pay somebody's mortgage? Because most people's faith is not working, energizing, and activated through and expressed through love. It's all about getting me and mine. Because we want to get to the mountain first. We want to get to the hill and say, look at me. Look at what my faith did. But it's worthless if you weren't faithful to give and be a blessing to others. See, faith is a team sport. You don't see an NBA basketball team playing with one person, holding the ball back and forth and never passing it. That team usually doesn't win. Men of God and women of God who have testified in the past, and we're going to close here in just a few minutes, but they've said, God told them, use your faith for the church when they were head over heels. I'm talking about up to the eyeballs or the hair follicles. I don't have much hair up here, but you know what I'm talking about. They're up to the hair follicles in debt. They couldn't even see straight. But the Lord gave them a faith project and said, make the church's bills, add the church's bills to your bills. So instead of being a burden, he became a blessing to the church. And to where he could walk in, him and his wife could walk in and say, how much is the monthly payment? And they add it to the monthly payment. Believe God for it. Money start coming in. See, he'll get it to you if he can get it through you. Most people he can't get because you're like a reservoir. You just hold it all in. God wants you to be a conduit where it can flow, the blessings can flow to you and through you. Faith works by love. So love is not selfish. It's not self-serving. And so when you enter a room, you say, who can I help? What can I? How can I be a blessing? You know, a pastor friend of mine told me, he said, one lady in the church always asks, every time she comes around, how can I bless you? How can I be a blessing? And it's kind of a her habituated behavior. But he said it's so remarkably impacted him and impressed him to a point to where he said, if one person I know, one of the people that I know that I know, that she's got the back of the church, she's got my back, is she always comes in and asks, first thing, how can I bless you? How can I be a blessing? See, faith has to be activated, energized, expressed, and working through love. See, everything we receive from God that has been provided by grace is by our faith, but our faith works by love. So when you stand praying, forgive. So some people say, well, my faith can outgrow my forgiveness. No, it can't. Your faith is limited by your unforgiveness. Faith won't work if you don't forgive. Some people will be giants in faith, but they got tiny little grudges, little aughts, little offenses, bitterness hanging in there, resentment, malice in their heart that they haven't let go of. And it's making faith midgets. It stumped or stopped or stalled out their faith, like the car won't start. You can't turn it over. It's stalled. And it's usually the love walk. You mad at somebody, you sad about something, you got bitterness about somebody. Well, praise the Lord. I done lost half the crowd right now. Praise God. Are you still with me online? Praise God. Let me go to this ninth one, then we'll close up. He said, your faith level will determine your victory level. 1 John 5:4. Look at this. Every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through what? Our faith. We achieve this victory through our what? Faith. Now, next week we're going to pick up part two of this because I still didn't get to faithfulness part. We got a whole other part to play. So keep your notes. We have to know that if my victory is low, my faith is low. Now, it would do us good to do some self-evaluation and judge ourselves. You know, if my fruit of victory is low, that means I got family fires and family fights. Well, then my faith must be low in my family area. Because some people don't like to release their faith for their family because they want to stay mad at them. They say, they don't deserve my love and they don't deserve my attention. And why am I going to pray for them? When you stand praying, forgive. Stop being mad at your parents. Stop being mad at your siblings. Stop being upset with your spouse and your kids, grandkids, great-grandkids. Some of you got great-grandkids. Praise the Lord. Somebody say glory to God. Somebody say hallelujah. You got your faith won't work outside of the principle and the law of love. I'm stuck here. Because you can't receive without faith. And you need faith. Amen. And you're staying mad or you're carrying bitterness or resentment or malice or ill will towards your family members. See, love doesn't matter. It's not about how they treat you or how they've wronged you. It's about how you are treating them. And it's wrong for you to withhold love. It's wrong for you to hold and harbor unforgiveness. Well, praise the Lord. This is something for somebody. Praise the Lord. Because your victory level needs to go up. You got fires in your finances. You got fires and stagnation in your family. You got situations in your physical health. What's the answer? Simple, faith. But what's the key to faith? Love. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.